Welcome to Medified, a podcast about web dev and tech news that pique my interest. I'm your host, Richard, and I'm looking forward to this episode. Lerna has a new V6 version for us. If you're not sure what Lerna is, it's not the misspelled version of the word learn, but instead a build system for JavaScript monorepositories. It had a shaky past with the project being abandoned sometime around Q2 this year. I think we mentioned that on Minified at some point, but that's all in the past because some time ago, it has been taken over by the awesome people from Marvel. V6 is chock full of new features, so let's take a peek, shall we? Caching and performance are going to be recurring topics in this version because a lot of the new additions are circling around them. In a previous version from Narwhal, NX was introduced as an alternative to the PMAP and PQ for task scheduling. And since NX has built-in caching, it extends to Lerna and makes it much faster. After a lot of testing in the previous version, in V6, every Lerna repository uses NX as the default task scheduling mechanism. Staying on the topic, we also get remote caching and distributed task execution. It sounds a bit like sci-fi, and if you read the article, a lot like a commercial for the NX cloud. Basically, it allows you to distribute your local cache with your colleagues and your CI system via NX cloud. And the distributed task execution gives you the ability to, well, distribute the execution of your tasks dynamically across multiple machines in the NX cloud. From the practical side of things, Lerna now has a dedicated extension for VS Code. It has a bunch of pretty cool features that help with navigating your monorepository. For example, you can run commands by opening up the context menu on top of a package directory, or you can take a peek at a graph that visualizes a project and its relationships with other projects in the workspace with a cool graph. And it also provides context-based auto-completion in configuration files. And some other notable updates, we get improvements to defining a task pipeline via accounting for potential dependencies among tasks, a dedicated Lerna command for adding in and configuring caching, proper support for PMPM, automatic prettier application if you use it in your project, and a terminal output that has been revamped to not spam you with irrelevant information when running locally. Migrating from Lerna V5, and in most cases even from Lerna V4, is non-breaking. Why the increase in the major version then? Well, some defaults, like the aforementioned NX for task scheduling, are changed, and the team wanted to be cautious about it. And that's practically what V6 is all about. A new iteration with better overall performance by default and a lot of cool new gadgets to play with. The results from the State of GraphQL survey are out. This survey ran in the summer from the 15th of June to the 15th of July and collected more than 3,000 responses. The main goal of the survey was to identify current and upcoming trends in the GraphQL ecosystem. So, without further ado, let's see some of the most interesting results. There are interesting results when it comes to libraries associated with GraphQL and their retention and usage characteristics. The winner in this category seems to be the Apollo client and Apollo server, with high retention and the highest amount of users. In the area of high retention, with a smaller amount of users, we can see rising libraries in different languages, like for example the DGS framework for Java from Netflix, or graph databases like dgraph. Another interesting thing is to see AppSync from AWS in the area of low retention and low usage. GraphQL usage among the survey participants is another interesting topic. According to the results, the vast majority of targeting platforms of GraphQL service are web applications, followed by native mobile applications. The most used GraphQL data sources are databases, followed by REST APIs. Interestingly, in the third place are other GraphQL services. So maybe GraphQL is slowly but surely adapting to server-to-server communication. Let's talk a little bit about code generation. According to the results, the most popular approach for code generation is GraphQL SDL first, followed by generating the SDL from code. Both are, however, very similarly distributed among the participants, with roughly 50% of them that responded to this question. Lastly, let us talk about the most used resources when it comes to GraphQL. Without a surprise, the most used website participants consult with is Stack Overflow, with a crushing result of more than 40%, followed by Udemy with almost 8%. It almost seems like Stack Overflow is an education platform at this point. So, what is the conclusion then? Well, the result points to the fact that GraphQL is indeed an essential part of how we build modern applications. There are lots of new open source projects that improve the overall quality of the tooling we use in the end. The survey contains much more information, so do not hesitate to check it out. You can find the link in the description of the episode. Also, keep in mind that this was the first edition of this survey and only 3,000 people took part in it. When you compare it to this year's Stack Overflow developer survey, which was filled out by around 70,000 developers, you can't help yourself but take this with a grain of salt. Sharing is the key to having success with your digital content in this social age. And I bet that the content on most of your pages is generated dynamically, and so it needs to be fast. And why would you leave the success of your content to clickbaity headlines when you can have a kick-ass image that loads super fast instead? According to a study done by AgoraPulse, the engagement rate of tweets that embed rich media is 40% higher than of those without it. The Vercel team tries to streamline this process with a new library for generating dynamic social card images called Vercel OG Image Generation. Based on their calculations, it is 5 times faster than the existing solution. It uses Vercel Edge functions, WebAssembly, and a brand new core library for converting HTML and CSS into SVGs. Before diving into it, let's take a look at their current solution, the OpenGraph Image as a Service. It enables developers to dynamically generate OG images by taking a screenshot of an HTML page inside of a serverless function. What was good 4 years ago is now not good enough. The downsides of this approach are that it is difficult, it is slow, and it can get expensive over time. It requires launching Chromium in a serverless function and taking a screenshot of the given HTML page with Puppeteer. And since Chromium needs to be compressed to fit inside a serverless function and then decompressed on a cold boot, it can be very slow, something like 4 seconds on average. Plus, it can also result in broken social card images. With this brand new open source library, all of the downsides are now gone. For starters, Vercel OG Image Generation doesn't require a headless browser. You can define your images using HTML and CSS and automatically generate dynamic images from the generated SVGs. Vercel Edge functions are also much cheaper than running Chromium in a serverless function, plus the generated images can be cached and stored at the edge. And this library is much more lightweight than Chromium and Puppeteer, which allows functions to start almost instantly. Vercel OG library also supports CSS layouts, styling, and typography. And as a bonus, it also includes support for using Tailwind CSS. Make sure to check this one out. Thanks for tuning in to Minified. If you like what I do, make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts and share it with your friends and colleagues. Catch you later!